Blog Talk Radio.
Was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. So it's good for us to be here for another session of truth on Blog Talk Radio. So we welcome all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Facebook friends, all of our Twitter followers, and all of our Blog Talk friends to another session of truth on Blog Talk Radio. So it's good to be here, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, as the apostle said, for therein, talking about in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So it's good to be here on another session of Blog Talk Radio, Truth on Blog Talk Radio. So what a blessing. And so my question to you, as I always ask, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? So it's paramount. You got to have it. Like Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. So this is for everyone. In order to get out of here, we got to have the earnest of our inheritance. You got to be born again of water and of the Spirit, just like they were on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost was given. And so even the writer John writes in the 7th chapter of St. John, we've just been over that a little while back, but he said in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, which is a proclamation, and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he went on to say, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So John, the writer, goes on to say, this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But the point being, he was talking about the Holy Ghost. So they go on to say about why they didn't bring him, the chief officers. And then they went on to say about Christ coming out of the Bethlehem where David was, and there was a division among the people. Then, you know, they, like I said, they had discrepancy about why hadn't they brought him. And then somebody spoke up and said, never man spake like this man. Yes, he is the anointed of God. He is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He is the one person in the Godhead. He is the head of the church, which is his body. So that's why there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is Apostle Paul when he wrote one of his prison epistles to the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus, letting them know their position and how they were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. So he gives a lot of information in those six chapters of the book of Ephesians. So it's good to be here today. And so we're continuing on in our Only Believe session. So we would like to invite you, if you have a question or you have a comment, you are certainly welcome to call in. And our call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. So, yeah, and I'd also like to make a correction. I was listening on the playback last week, and I said that that was the last broadcast in October, but that was my mistake. The last broadcast in the month of September 2017. So now, today, we are in the first Wednesday, my first broadcast in the month of October. On today, I believe it's the 4th of October. So my bad. That was last week's broadcast, was the last week or the last broadcast in the month of September 2017. So today, live right now, is the first broadcast in the month of October 2017. So we thank God that we are here. So we're continuing on, and we're going through the book of St. John, the apostle, who was the one that was mention of, that he was the one who leaned on Jesus' breath. So we're going on here. We know he wrote St. John, as we call it. He wrote the first, second, and third epistle of John. And he also wrote the Revelation of Jesus Christ. So the book of the Revelation, as it is called by biblical scholars. You know, some say the Revelation of St. John Divine. No, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. He is the Christos. He is the Christ. He is the anointed flesh of God. He is the Messiah. He is the incarnate God who came into the world that he made. And so that's why I read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so he was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So you got to be born again to be able to comprehend the Word of God, because God's Word is quick, which means it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even asunder to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 4 and the fourth chapter. And so he goes on to say that neither is any creature does not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So that's beginning in Hebrews, the fourth chapter. So the Word of God is alive. And so his thoughts are not our thoughts, like Isaiah the prophet says in the 55th chapter, high as the heaven is above the earth, so is his thoughts above ours, and his ways above our ways. So he is God. He is high and lifted up. So he is the one who inhabits eternity. He is the self-existing one. He is the one that is eternal. He always was. And that's why he says, as the Son of God, that I am the light of the world. So you never read, when you go back and read the writings of Moses in the book of Genesis, he didn't create the light because he was the light. When he said, let there be, get out of the way and allow this thing to be. So that's why it's going to be no need of the sun or the moon in the new heaven. Because he is the light thereof, and letting you know that the Lamb is the light thereof, which means the same one who said he is the light and came into the world that he made, and John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, is the self-same one. So we know he's going to reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. So we have to understand the position of sonship. What he is talking about, St. Paul, in his letters, when he's teaching the church, because the Corinthian church is a very gifted church. This is for us too. So Romans 15 and 4, it says, whatsoever things are written afore were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So this is written for us also. So that's why he's given, letting them know about the grace of God and how he had labored abundantly more than they all, but yet it wasn't him, but it was the grace of God that was with him. Then, so he was talking about, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. So what does that mean? That Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, he is the first fruits of them that slept, as I just read. He's the first fruits. So go on here, and Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That's the second Adam. Every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then he goes on. Here's what I was going to talk about right here, make mention of, as I was talking about the Messiah and the office that he's in. So he was the prophet, and that's what the woman at the well in the fourth chapter of St. John was saying. I perceive that thou art a prophet. Then, and she was saying, they were saying, when Messiah's coming, cometh he into the world, you know, he's going to tell us all things. That's why he told her, I that speak it unto thee am he. When he so then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, just the Father, which is the self same one, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. When all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So he goes on here, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? So, I mean, you got a lot of stuff you got to deal with here. We're talking about the sonship because we know the Godhead is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It ain't no three in one. He can never be what he is not, but when he gets done being what he wants to be, goes back to being what he always was and what he never ceased to be, he's always God. So he didn't stop being God because he became a man. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the light. He is the door. He is the apostle of our profession. He is the bishop of our souls. He is the captain of our salvation. He has many offices. So in these last times, the Hebrew writer says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. This is in the first chapter of Hebrews. So the sonship is the office. That's what I just got through reading about. He's going to be. He's going to put down all rule and authority. He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But anyway, go on here. hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So that's the office of sonship, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. So, who being the brightness of his glory and the image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So we know he was named. He inherited his name, and his angels said what his name was before he was born. And not only that, what no what do they call that? The whatever they have, I forget what they call it, the term that they see what a baby is, you know, determine the gender of a baby, if it's a boy or a girl. But they didn't have those then. But they knew that it was a son, because God cannot lie. So that's, he said at that time, at any, he said he at any time, for which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, a question. And again, I will be to him a father, he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth his first begotten into the world, that means become the father of, to begot, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, he, unto the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. So he goes on here, as the writer says, I'm flying on through here because I got to get into the lesson. But to which of the angels said he at any time? So just like he just asked another question, he says another question. So we have to pay very close attention to repetition. Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Then he goes on here answering, what about the angels? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for they who shall be heirs of salvation? So that's a question, but it's an answer also too. So this is what we want to talk about. So a lot of people don't understand. They keep talking about a holy trinity and all that. That's a dirty lie. There is no such thing. God is one. This is the first message that he always wanted Israel to know, who was his chosen people in the earth at that time, that hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So it's only one God. He was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And sometimes the Lord would descend in a cloud over the door of the tabernacle. So he could appear in whatever form that he wanted to appear in, but he is God. So he uses the elements even now, and he's going to. He doesn't have to have a bomb or his weaponry, but the weapons, you know, our warfare right now at the present times are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds and cast down in imaginations, bringing into obedience every thought that acknowledges itself against the knowledge of God, you know, bringing it into the obedience of Christ. But we, God is uses his weapons, is what I want to say, is according to the scripture, the elements is his weapons, which means what he always used before, and then that is water, hail, ice, snow, wind. Those are his elements. So that's what he said in the book of Job, the 38th chapter. He was talking about, he got about the treasures of hail and snow reserved against the day of battle and trouble. You know, so in other words, it's what he's saying, his weapons are the elements. Because just like it makes sense, true science and God's word is in perfect harmony. So somebody said, if the sun was any closer, we would burn up. It makes sense, because it can get hot. If the sun was any farther away, we would freeze to death. It makes sense, because if you lived in a climate where it's cold, and especially sub-zero, it's cold. I mean, it's so cold, you get in, you have to thaw out, or you feel like, just take you a while. You don't want to get hot or warm all at once. It's like your body has to defrost. You're so cold. And your fingertips and all. Anybody who ever lived, I'm from Michigan, and I had lived in Michigan all my life until last year. I just moved to a warmer climate, which is the state of Florida. So anyway, we want to move on to here today in our lesson. So it's just we want to establish the fact it is so important that there is but one God. And so too many people are picking up the Bible, call themselves reading the Bible, which is the children's bread. You can't understand spiritual things. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, talking about being born again. Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Jesus got right to the point. Art thou a master of Israel? He didn't flatter him or slight him. And he said, you don't know these things? So it's so important. You're not going to know spiritual things but by the Spirit of God. And the only way you're going to know spiritual things is that you have to be born again. So he goes on to say, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we know, testify that which we've seen, you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And when he made that statement, he was standing right there on earth. And he goes on to say, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation light is coming to the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So this is the thing. We want to encourage people to get the new birth. That is why I asked the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Because we're living in the last days, and it doesn't matter if it's 20 years from now and you're not ready, then you're still not going to go. So this is why we're seeing everything that's happening, because we are living in the last days. People's hearts are failing for fear. People are very fearful, and the answer is in the Word of God. People need to get right with God, like they used to say, and do it now. Get right with God. He will show you how. Down at the cross where he shed his blood, get right with God. Get right with God. So people want to do their own thing, just like I just read. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So people want to do their own thing. Like the song way back in the 70s. Do your thing, whatever it is. I mean, that's what people are doing, and they've been doing it for a long time, whatever they want to do. But you walk in your own ways, all these things. The writer in Ecclesiastes says God will bring you into judgment. So we want to please him. You want to be like Enoch. He pleased God before he was translated, that he should not see death, the Hebrew writer says, but before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And the Hebrew writer goes on to say, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So in today's lesson, we're going on, we want to talk about our tags, Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So we are continuing in his love. Love one another is what he is, the message that he's getting across in this lesson on today. So only believe. So his words are is our joy. He wants us to have joy, and then his joy becomes our joy. So should you desire to call in, you still can. During this live broadcast today, October the 4th, 2017, by calling 929-477-2285. That is our guest call-in number, 929-477-2285. So, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that is that in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So this is what the writer said in Zechariah 4 and 6. The word of the Lord that came unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And this is what Jesus said in previous chapters that we have already went through, and that is St. John 6 and 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He is the one that speaks and men live. He is the one that speaks and men die. That's why he told Martha, said, have you had been here, Lord? You had been here, my brother had not died. I know whatsoever thou ask of God, God will give it thee. He told Martha, thy brother shall rise again. So she must have knew about the Bible, about the scriptures. I know he's going to rise at the resurrection of the last day. So the master said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? St. John 11 and 25. So as we go on here, so it's about him. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save. Just like he told them, he was sitting down eating, and they were talking about he was a wine bibbler. He was eating with sinners and publicans. And he was saying about they that are whole need not a physician. You don't need, but they that are sick. And then he went on to say, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So this is what he came to do, to seek and to save that which was lost. And so the point that I like to drive in, not for these so-called people to call themselves activating prophets and speaking into people's lives, that's foolishness. Because what he wants us to do is to repent and believe the gospel. Just like it was so dark, John the Baptist came on the scene. He was a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That's when he said every valley is going to be exalted, every mountain is going to be made low, the crooked is going to be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. So this, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, you know. And so we're in a horrible situation as we are now in this present evil world. So that's what he came to do, like Luke wrote, to save us from our enemies in the first chapter of Luke. I think it's about 70-something verses. So this is what he came to do. So our worst enemy is ourself. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. What I just read in the first chapter of the first book of the 15th chapter of Corinthians, and the first book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, that's the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So fruit, he's not talking about things, but talking about people. That's why he was saying, you know, so you're going to bring forth much fruit. So the fruit he's talking about is souls. And then just like he told them to follow me, Peter, James, John, all those, Andrew, his brother, when he chose those men, they were professional fishermen, and he told them to follow him, said, follow me, I will make you to become fishers of men. So that's very important. So that's what it's about. It's about souls. So the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So all have sinned, Romans 3 and 23, and come short of the glory of God. But Romans 6 and 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what's so important, is that we need the salvation of God. So even when you read in the book, when he's talking about the gospel, by which ye are saved, you keep in mind the things that I said unto you, how Christ died according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and about how who he was seen of, and Cephas and the other apostles, and above 500 brethren at once. And then he goes on to say, last of all, he was seen of me, who was born out of due season. So that is what's important, is the gospel. Not folks lying to people and speaking into people's life, in other words. No, we have a sure word of prophecy, and it's right before us. These 66 books is the prophecy. So God is a God of order. So Psalm 68 and verse 6 says, God setteth the solitary in family. So we got to have a church home. He bringeth out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. So the dry land is the desert. In the desert, there is no water, no living water, which is the analogy here. So if you don't have no living water, which is the Holy Spirit, then you will die spiritually, because our spirit man has to eat in order to be sustained. So he goes on here about we can't do nothing without him. So if a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So we got to understand what he said. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. So what are you asking? Fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. There it is right there. So shall you be my disciples. So he wants us to believe that. And so we're going to see here, you know, that he can't, because it's so important, because he came to lay down his life. So he goes on, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So that's what you need to get. See, we're trying to get joy, and I know about it. Now that I've been in here since 1976, which is 41 years, August of 76, so that I know about out there, people are drinking and trying to find joy, but the real joy is the joy of the Lord. The real joy is the true joy. The real joy is the new wine, which is the Holy Ghost. Like I told somebody, I said, I'll never drink ever again in life. And that's been 41 years and counting. So I got the real thing. Now, temptation is out there. I know what a story, like I told somebody, I know what a story is. If I wanted to go get something to drink, I don't have the desire. The story is still there. but I can not go. I have been, I mean, stores sell alcohol and all, even grocery stores, but I have no desire because I have the new wine. I found him whom my soul liveth. So I have his joy that he gave me is my joy. So, and it's becoming full every day. So this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So you never heard of no one ever talking like that before, that they came, are going to be killed, going to be rejected of the elders and be crucified and rise, be raised again the third day. So when he told Peter and the disciples that, they didn't understand. And so we don't understand, like people try to make excuses about Peter cursing and all that. Yeah, we were sinners before we got saved. When during Jesus' earthly ministry, they were under the law. The gospel wasn't established until on the day of Pentecost, in reality. So in the 16th chapter of Matthew, he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So he didn't build it upon Peter, but he built it upon himself. Blessed art thou, Simon, part Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not Peter, Jesus is the rock, but I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give unto thee, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What is he talking about? Binding and loosing power. It means exactly what it says. Whatever he bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever he loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But the keys is the power and the authority. Excuse me. So he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. That time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Remember, that's what I said. He came to lay down his life. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. Thou savest not those things that be of God, but those that be of men. Was he talking to Peter? Yes. But who was he talking to? He was talking to the devil that was influencing Peter. Like, this is not going to happen to you. No. He came to give his life. That's why the writer in Isaiah says, for unto us a child is born, and then 33 years later, unto us a son is given. So he was born a child. He was given as a son. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So the government is going to be on his shoulders. That hasn't came to pass yet. That is in the making. So that's why we got to get out of here, because those are things are going to come. Like God told the church at Thessalonica, that God has not called us under wrath, but to obtain, appointed us under wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, that's why he's going to come. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That is the change. Like St. Paul was saying also in the 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. So this corruptible, because he's talking about the natural body, the spiritual body, how it's sown in weakness, is raised in power. It's sown corruptible, is raised incorruptible. Then he says, when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And he goes on to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he went on to say, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So it's so important to realize that he can't pour his wrath out until he gets the church out of the earth. So there's so many men. God has many enemies, people that hate him. And then so what have they done? They have actually, what he said don't do, that's why he was saying, no man can serve two masters, for you hate one, cleave to the other, you hold the one, despise the other. And he said, you cannot serve God and mammon. That's why a lot of people are going to be in the lake of fire because of greed. Every kind of way they can figure out to make a dollar, just greed. That's why he told Timothy when he wrote, you know, he said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. We got to have money. Money answers all things, the writer in Ecclesiastes said. But the love of money is the root of all evil. That's why he wrote, when he wrote, he said, which while some have coveted after, he's talking about people in the church, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But he said, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness and godliness and charity, and be ready to distribute. And so in other words, help somebody was his message to Timothy, to as being a pastor, because he was a young pastor when he wrote to him. So we're going to go on here. So we gotta believe. That's why he was talking about, he's going to lay down his life for his friends. So he's letting them know, especially the 12, it ends up one of them is the devil, but they're going to choose Matthias, and then it's a mystery about that. And then we go on, that's when St. Paul is going to be bought, saved, converted in the 9th chapter of Acts. The Lord saved him, and we have the writings that we have of St. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. We call them the Pauline epistles. So, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So we have to understand, as much as Christ has suffered in the flesh for us, we got to arm ourselves likewise with the same mind. Peter goes on to say, he that suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. So what is he saying? We're yielding ourselves unto God. Then Paul writes in his letters about people being angry in the book of the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian church, by putting away anger. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So, I mean, the test is going to keep coming until we pass it, because we got to be right. We got to have the right attitude. So, yeah, we should be mad at the same things that the Lord is. But on the other hand, we shouldn't just be an angry person. You got to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Somebody said, heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. We can know it. Yeah, we can know what's in our heart. That's why we have to pray and our heart be right. Our communication with God, our love for God, our love for God's people, and God is no respecter of persons, so we love what he loves, then we can keep our heart right. Be no surprises. So we have desires. We have feelings as humans. You got to know that, but you have to use wisdom also. That's why I said wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all I get in, get understanding. So you've got to either be a wise man or a foolish man. So that's why he was talking about, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I shall liken him unto a wise man. So in other words, you dig deep to build on a foundation. So the winds blew and the floods came, and it didn't go nowhere because it was founded upon the rock. But you built the house on the sand, it's not going to stand. And then I think Luke says, he didn't say the man built his house on the sand. He said, I believe it was Luke, and it was either Luke or Mark. I believe it was Luke, but he's given the same parable. He said, without a foundation. So if you don't have a foundation, the right foundation, you don't have a foundation. That's why we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2 and 20. So go on here. He says, you have not, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So we have to pay very close attention to repetition. He keeps saying, love one another, love one another. So we have to bear all things, believe things, because people can be critical in things that they do. You know, you said you have to be merciful. And there's feeble-minded people, so you got to try to build them up. Sometimes you can't say nothing. What you can do if you can't do nothing for certain people is what you can do is pray. You don't even have to tell them. You just pray one for another. That's always in order. Pray. So he said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So that's what I'm saying. God has enemies. So if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If you have, they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. So I have not, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. So how are you going to do that? Because he's the self-same one. Like we say, he came into the world that he made. Somebody said he summoned his angel Gabriel to go down into Bethlehem to make the annunciation of the conception of the infinity. That was when Mary, they call it the immaculate conception. That's when the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary in Luke 1 and 35. And the writer goes on to say, therefore, she's saying, the power of the high is going to come upon thee and overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So Mary knew, like, how in the world am I going to have a baby? How shall these things be? Which was totally a legitimate question, seeing I know not a man. So it's the same way. Ain't nobody going to get pregnant without a man. That was a miracle. That was the Holy Ghost that overshadowed Mary. And that's never going to happen again. A virgin shall conceive, the writer writes in Isaiah 7:14, shall be with child, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So he came and tabernacled in the world that he made. So if you were of the world would love you, love its own, because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. So that's just going back over. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. They have persecuted me. So we just have to really get this in us, because sometimes people, that's why Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened. That's why you have to know what the word says. You get saved, and you know, you find yourself in the midst of a fiery trial as a newborn babe, you won't know what happened. But if you know what the word says, you won't be surprised. So that's what he was saying. The servant is not greater than his Lord. They have persecuted me. They will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. All these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. They had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hated me hated my Father also. So in other words, if I had done among them the works which none other man did, they had no sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Let me read that again. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did. So in other words, what he did, nobody did. They had not had sin. So what did he do? He exposed them. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. So in other words, it's God. God is invisible spirit. That's why he took on a body, came into the world that he made as the Son of God. This cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled, which was written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom the Father will send unto you, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So only believe. And so his great love, so he's not hiding anything from them, but greater love and no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. St. John 15:13. So is somebody going to, and I mean, people, we have seen display of people not being selfish. Even what happened this past Sunday night in Las Vegas, Nevada, of people, they didn't know what was going on. They realized that it was gunfire, and some thought that it was more than one. It was so rapidly going on, but some people did lay down their life for their husband or for their wives. People shielded people, tried to shield people, and they ended up subsequently dying trying to shield somebody else. So that's not just an ordinary thing. That was really impromptu, but that is what he'd done, was lay down his life for his friends. And so that is, he was talking to them, but he wants us to be his friends also. And we will be. You get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You go down in the name of Jesus in water to remove your sins or remit. Forgive your sins and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. That is the new birth, being born of water and of the Spirit. So, and that's why, and then just to make a point, a technical point, water can be anywhere. So you could receive the Holy Ghost, but you got to go down in water in the name of Jesus. It don't have to be in a church house. It could be a bathtub. It could be a horse trough. It can be a swimming pool. It can be a lake. It can be a river. It can be in the sea. Yes, it can. You just got to be buried in water. And what makes the virtue in the water is in the name of Jesus. That's why in the book of Acts, when Philip saw the eunuch, and he told him to come and sit with him. Whom spake is thee of the man, in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, who is the prophet speaketh of himself, of some other man. And he preached at the same scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. So that's why the eunuch said, see, after he preached to him, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? So they went down in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and Philip baptized the eunuch in the name of Jesus. So these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Out of the what? Synagogues. So, I mean, you have people saying all kinds of things, but we have to really remember, even during the initial earthly ministry of Jesus, where he met people at that were possessed with devils, was in the synagogue. Read the Gospels. So, I mean, people saying all kinds of things, but in the synagogues. No, they're not going to put you out of the bar and all that. He said they should put you out of the synagogues. Yet a time cometh that he that persecute, that killeth, whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. This is what St. Paul was doing before he got saved, causing people to be put to death. These things they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. These things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. That's why he's saying, I'm going to go away, I'm coming again. So he's coming in another form. In other words, in the Holy Ghost form, because after he gives his life, he's going to come back in a spirit is invisible. So that is a mystery also. And so now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asking me whither goest thou, because I said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. And I know our time is almost gone. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. So that's why they was mad at Jesus, because he exposed them, and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to the Father, and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. That is the devil. So he goes on here, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while ye shall not see me, and again a little while ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. So he's talking about on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost shall come. And so we're just going to have to end right there, because our time is almost up on today. So he's saying, a little while you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. So that means the redemptive work will have been done, the sacrifice will have been made, the atonement and all, and the day of Pentecost, they will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So remember, as I have said, I always remind you, and like they say, you'll thank heaven you went to church. That is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? God bless you.
home.